I bring you greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Reverend Justice Chinemelem. I welcome you to a blessed day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Today we will be studying, we will be discussing on what I call the serpent in the church. The serpent in the church. You see, today a lot of things are happening in the church of Jesus Christ. A lot of things we see happening that shouldn't be happening in the church. And a lot of people have gotten to a point that they are so discouraged by the things they see happening in the church. While some are even getting more confused. The things we see in the church of the ancient, the church of the beginning, in the time of the apostles, are not the same thing we see in the church of today. Why? Because the serpent has crept in to the church. Who is the serpent? What is that serpent? What does the serpent represent? Before we could understand the serpent in the church, we need to understand expose the identity of the serpent. Now, the serpent is those things that seek to take your heart away from God. The serpent is anything that seeks to take your heart away from God. Those things that seek to poison your mind from the things of God. Praise the Lord. The Bible refers to the serpent as the Leviathan. In the book of Isaiah chapter 27 from verse 1, it says, "In that day the Lord with his severe sword, great and strong, will punish Leviathan, the fleeing serpent, Leviathan, the twisting serpent, and he will slay the reptile that is in the sea." So he's referring to the serpent himself, this very serpent, the crooked serpent we are talking about. The Bible called him the Leviathan. In the book of Revelation, chapter 12, from verse 9, the Bible is explained further, revealed and exposed the true identity of the serpent. So the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, who deceived the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So the scripture now reveals that the serpent is that devil, that Satan was cast out. And he has one mission, and that mission is to turn the heart of man against God, to turn the heart of people, as many as he can turn, against God. And he has been doing that successfully, that even in the church today, he has penetrated the church so much, even in the life of pastors, the life of believers, even in the church system. We see things that are not meant to be because the enemy is working so hard to turn the heart of God, people against God. Praise the Lord. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 11 from verse 3, the scripture said, Paul was speaking to the people of the Corinthians. Then he said, "But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve, by his craftiness, so your mind may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Praise the Lord. I would like to read the same verse from another translation. That's the NIV. It threw more light, or it gave more insight on this very verse. "But I'm afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the snake, cunning, your mind may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. For if someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus other than the Jesus we preach, or if you receive a different spirit from the spirit you receive, or a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it enough." Now, these are people, he's referring to a church that was already a victim of the craftiness of the serpent. So he said he's afraid for them, that they may be deceived just as Eve was deceived. From what? From the sincere and pure devotion to Christ. You see, this is Satan's greatest mission, to take away that devotion, that purity that is in Christ. You see, we see a kind of Christianity today that does not place emphasis on the righteousness of the kingdom. The message of holiness is being mocked. Even as a preacher, when you come with the message of holiness, even Christians seems to despise you. The message of grace is being abused. And the works of holiness is no longer being emphasized, even among those who call themselves preachers, who are supposed to propagate this gospel. Praise the Lord. So we see today that the serpent has actually perpetrated a lot of evil in the church. The serpent in the church is the reason today that sin is seen as normal, even among believers. The same serpent is the reason why a brother and a sister will be living in fornication in the name of relationship and yet feel very comfortable and guiltless. And even their pastor will not take time to correct them. These days the pastor rarely speaks about it. And relationships and fornication has become a normal thing, even among church leaders. It is the same reason why ministers of the gospel focuses on the message of prosperity and giving while neglecting the righteousness of the kingdom of God. The church of Jesus Christ have become a business venture for the same reason. These days, the general overseers are more interested in building church empires. They are more interested in raising empires for themselves and for their children. So the church has become a legacy for their own children and their children's children. So the church is no longer seen as a ministry. It is now seen as an empire, a personal empire that you build to transfer to your children and your children's children. A family business. The members are expected to believe God for whatever they desire, while the general overseers are fed by the church members. So while the members are being expected to look up to God for miracles and have faith to receive their own blessings, the general overseers don't need to stress themselves over this. Instead, the church feed them. Praise the Lord. When a believer comes to a church for assistance, he or she will be termed as faithless and sent away with few words of prayer in expectation for a miracle, when actually the church has the capacity to assist this individual. So the believers is now expected to seek for miracles in every of their need, while the church have the capacity to assist them. But when the church have the capacity to assist them, today believers all over the world are confronted with multiple problems. And no matter how much they pray, the prayer seems not to be changing much. Hence, you see, the scripture says that hope deferred wearies the soul. So, this brings about weariness in the life of believers, they begin to doubt the credibility of God's word because of the things they see around them. They pray and they don't get answers. And they are not being guided properly by their leaders and their pastors and their priests. The false prophets, the magicians and native doctors have gone into the church system and performing miracles in the guise of Christianity and calling the name of Jesus to confuse believers. So you see, it is not anywhere you hear the name Jesus that is a Christian gathering. Some call themselves a church, but it actually is a shrine. It is not everyone that calls himself a pastor is actually a pastor. Some are magicians that took up the title of a pastor. Hence, you see the things, you know them by their fruit. Even the scripture said, by their fruit you shall know them, not by their titles. Praise the Lord. The false teachers have infiltrated the church system with false doctrines and teachings that most Christians are either confused or are fed up. Now the genuine ministers of the gospel are now the ones taking the blames, arrows and abuse and persecutions because of the menace of the false prophets. The church is being battled from all sides. Even the government of many nations is working so hard to suppress the church of Jesus Christ. Some churches have shamelessly welcomed gay marriages, the gay system in the church, that churches are now wedding gays. The serpent in the church have made the church his own enemy. Even preachers want to become, every preacher today wants to become a general overseer of a church. Maybe because of the special benefits that goes along with the title, I suppose. The prophets and the seers could barely conclude their prophecies without asking for a seed. The believers have become so gullible that they believe in their seer more than they believe in God. While the church is supposed to be the number one charity organization in the world, it has rather become the number one money collecting organization in the world. Just as I said earlier, the mission of this serpent is to turn the heart of men away from God. So all these things we see is the strategy, the cunning strategy of that serpent, to twist the heart of the believers away from God, to confuse and convince the believers to believe otherwise, to stop believing in the word of God. That is why today we see so much aggression in the path of the believers. If you go on social media, you see the pastors have been attacked. And the churches have been attacked from all sides. The churches have been accused of so much atrocities. This is because the serpent wants you to do so. He wants you to give up on God. Some people have begun to doubt the credibility of God's word. These days, the false prophets, the enemy have crafted his own system in the church. So he's running a system inside a system in the church system. So we see a system where the false prophets and the false teachers have begun to build their own system within the church system. So we see a lot of churches everywhere, and most of these ones are false prophets. They are messengers of Satan. How you know them is they will rarely give you, they give you prophecies without a viable solution to your problems. There is one attitude of the serpent I need to convey or reveal to us. That attitude was the very approach, is an approach the serpent used on Eve. The serpent would first of all create a problem and offer you what looks to be a solution. You see, a problem you don't know about should not be a problem, but the enemy will create this problem in your mind and make it a problem, and now begin to offer you a solution, so it becomes a problem in your mind, in you. Now, in the book of Genesis, let's quickly run to Genesis, from chapter 3, from verse 1, the scripture says, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" Verse 2, "And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of it and ate." Now, this tree has been in the garden. This very observation I read last was never observed by Eve, because they were strictly obeying God's instructions. So it was never a problem. The tree was desirable, quite all right. Desirable, quite all right. But it was never a problem to Eve and Adam. The tree was good to make one wise, but it was never a problem. But now Satan showed them. He created a problem in their mind. He created this problem in their mind. It wasn't existing initially. It was never a problem, but he created it in their mind by offering them what looks like true. He revealed what was not meant to be revealed. What was not a problem, it became a problem to Eve. That moment it became a problem, they began to search for solution. Hence, they reached out and ate the fruit out of disobedience. You see, this is the same approach most prophets and seers uses against you, against the believers in the church system today, and that is the spirit of the serpent at work. On your own, you are living your life. Yes, there are challenges, quite all right, but you are living your life peacefully and trusting God for upgrades and a better future, a better tomorrow. Then you run into a prophet or a supposedly seer, and he began to reveal the problems of your fathers, the sins of your great grandfathers. He began to expose or bring out some certain secrets that he claimed is the cause of your problem. Now, before now, you were not bothered about the cause of your problem. You were trusting God to bless you. So the cause of your problem was not a problem. In fact, it wasn't a problem in the first place. But these seers, these false prophets, created the problem in your mind. They now make you see that your auntie is your enemy. Your uncle is the one that wants to kill you. That he killed your father, he killed your mother, and he wants to kill you. Now, it was never a problem. Hey, in the first place, the Bible says you shall pick up deadly things and it shall not hurt you. The Bible even says you shall eat deadly things and it shall not harm you. Now, the prophet is telling you that your uncle wants to poison you. Telling you that a God cannot protect you from poison. So he's creating a problem in your mind. This is how the enemy created a problem that never existed. From that moment, you become an enemy to your uncles. You become an enemy to your aunties. They tell you that your mother is a witch, that she's the reason why you've not given birth. You become an enemy to your parents. It becomes a problem in your life. So this is a problem they created, and they try to offer you cheap solution. The key thing is to exploit you and to take your heart away from God. you begin to trust in this prophet more than you trust in God. You begin to trust the prophet to solve your problem, and they seize the opportunity to exploit you. That is why they will tell you to sow all manner of seeds, and you will close your account for their sake. They will collect your cars, collect your houses, collect everything you have. Some will even go as far as collecting your wife. Yes. Because you have become gullible, they have created a problem in your mind. This is the serpent at work. His mission is to take your heart away from God. The moment you begin to believe those problems, you begin to lose trust on the word of God and begin to trust the words of the seer. The word of God will not sound like possible again to you. The scriptures say, love your enemy. You can't love them. You can't love that your uncle anymore. You can't love that your sister, auntie anymore. Even that your mother that was accused of being a witch, you can't love her anymore, because the prophet has created a problem in your mind. Now the word of God cannot hold your faith anymore. You cannot hold your faith together anymore, because a problem has been created in your mind. It is the spirit of the serpent spirit, that makes one to believe in the prophet more than they believe in the word of God. Listen, anything the prophet tells you that goes against the word of God is from the spirit of serpent. I don't care which prophet it is. Praise the Lord. Even Satan can prophesy. Remember, we are dealing on the serpent in the church. So the serpent has so much infiltrated the church. He has so much entered the church that he's raising his own system. Today, if you are called into the ministry and you are not gifted to see vision and to prophesy, most of the times you will not get much attention. Even when you try to reach out to people, they will not seem to follow, because you are not creating the problem in their mind. You are not manipulating them. You are being sincere with the word. The people no longer want to hear the truth. They just want to hear miracles. They just want to hear prophecy. Miracles are real. God still works miracles. But listen, the Bible, the scripture said that the testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. So there is no prophecy, no genuine prophecy that can work without the word of God as its basis. So any solution offered to you that is not consistent with the word of God is of the serpent, is of the serpent spirit. The serpent has so much infiltrated the church. Praise the Lord. And gullible Christians have been deceived. These days you will see a prophet who calls himself a seer, in quote, but he cannot even explain a verse in the scripture. He doesn't even read the Bible. So he will come up to the pulpit of his church to prophesy. And during the time of the word, he comes up to tell stories, without really teaching you the scripture, because the enemy doesn't really want you to know the scripture. He doesn't want you to know the word of God. And unfortunately, what God wants to give you is the word. Praise the Lord. His word. And this same set of messengers of the serpent will offer you a cheap solution. Some will tell you to just sow a seed. Just give me your cars. Sow a seed with your house, close your account, and your problem will be over. Some will tell you to just sow a seed of $500 and the problem is solved. Hey, that is the cheap trick of the enemy. is a cheap trick to make you not to depend on God, not to exercise your faith for a miracle, for your healing, for your solution, but rather to seek for shortcuts. And unfortunately, when you sow the seed, nothing changes. That is how you will know that you have been tricked. You release that very seed, you give them that car, you close your account for their sake because a prophet said you should do so, and years have gone, nothing changed. Praise the Lord. You need to be sensitive to understand, to know when the serpent is trying to deceive you. We blame Eve and Adam for being deceived by the serpent, but each and every day we Christians are always being deceived by this same serpent. Christians, every day we fall victim of the deception of the enemy. And this is why God has left us to one corner and is watching us until we seek him. The scripture says, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. God is always waiting for you to draw near to him. But you have to come first before he comes to you. But no, you are after the cheap and shortcut offered by the spirit of the serpent. Praise the Lord. If you are hearing my voice today, it's a wake-up call. It's a wake-up call. I am calling you to wake up and seek after God and not the cheap solution of the serpent, the cheap trick of the serpent. Be aware that the serpent is in the church. The person you might call your spiritual father could actually be a messenger of the serpent. Yes, that person you worship as your spiritual father, your spiritual mother, your prophet, could actually be a messenger of the serpent. They create a problem that was not existing and offer you a cheap solution. And yet years come and go, nothing changes. The solution, their promises never come to pass. If you are a victim of this, it's time to wake up and tell yourself the truth and seek after God. God is ever willing to welcome you. Praise the Lord. Let's quickly read the book of Numbers, chapter 21, from verse 4 to 9. Then they journeyed from Mount Hor to the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom, and the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food nor water, and our soul loots this worthless bread. So the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. Now, I need to explain something here, that we Christians fall victim each day. The scripture says that the path of the just is like a shining light that shines brighter and brighter unto a perfect day. In essence, it's saying that if you are to walk with God, God is going to take you one step at a time until he brings you to a place he wants you to be. Now, the people of Israel were being taken by God to their land of destination, and they were being provided by God. But they grew weary to learn that God was providing them manna from heaven. But they said, why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For this is no food, and for there is no food and water, and our soul loots this worthless bread. So they called the food given to them by God worthless. The providence made available by God for you, it becomes worthless. 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 You call it worthless. You are a believer. God has been making provisions for you. But because you feel you are not where you want to be, Your mates have surpassed you. The people you call colleagues or the people you feel you should be better than seems to be better than you. Now you become restless. You want to go beyond where you are. You want to achieve more. You want to become more. Then this desire begins to drive you. It begins to drive you. At that moment, you begin to despise the providence made available to you by God. That is when the enemy strikes. The Bible said God allowed the serpent. He said, so the Lord sent fairy serpents among the people, and they bite the people, and many of the people of Israel died. In Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 8, the Bible said that he who breaks the hedge, the serpent will bite. So when you break away from your covering, you expose yourself to the poison of the serpent. To the poison of the serpent. This is why a lot of Christians have been poisoned by the spirit of the serpent. Because of their desires. Even the scripture says that temptation comes from our desires. So the enemy presents to you a temptation, a desire. It is not bad to desire to be more. But when you despise God because you want to be more, it becomes a problem. Praise the Lord. So the enemy creates this problem. You see, when we look at the temptation of Jesus Christ, when we take it one after the other, he said to Jesus, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to turn to bread. Now, Jesus was hungry. We all know that. But he was fasting, so hunger was not a problem. But the serpent tried to create a problem in his mind by telling him to command stone to turn to bread. In essence, saying, hey, you are hungry. Can't you see you are hungry? And you have the power to command stone to turn to bread? Make stone to be turned to bread so that you can eat. So the enemy created a problem in his mind. If Jesus decided to be gullible, to yield to the will of the Satan, he would have been affected by the spirit of the serpent. It was not a problem. But if he yield to that desire, to that hunger, it becomes a problem. This has been the challenge of the Christians. When you despise what God is doing in your life and you begin to yield to things that is not meant to be a problem, but because the serpent has presented these things in your mind, they become a problem. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If we read that place further, the book of Numbers, chapter 21, we find that at a point they pleaded with God to take away the serpent. And the scripture said that God commanded Moses to create another serpent and hang it on a pole, that whoever looks up upon the serpent will live. Praise the Lord. There is only one solution to anything that is a problem. There is only one solution to any challenge of life. And what is that? Who you look up to. The power from above. You see, God crucified the serpent. He hung the serpent on the pole. The serpent that torments them, he hid it on the pole. He hanged it on the pole. And commanded them to look up. Look up. Look at the serpent and leave. What? Look at the dead serpent. The dead serpent. What is this talking about? Praise the Lord. Quickly. The book of John. John chapter 3 from verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. But whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Praise the Lord. As Moses lifted up the serpent, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up.
that whoever believes in him. You see, when Jesus died on the cross, it wasn't just about Jesus. The serpent was crucified. In the realm, in the physical realm, Jesus' body was crucified, but in the realm of the spirit, the serpent was hanged. That serpent that deceived people had been crucified. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So if you can look up to Jesus, if you can look up to Jesus, if you can look up to Jesus, you will live. That's why Jesus said, for whoever believes in me will not perish but have eternal life. Don't look up to the cheap solution of your false prophet. Your prophet can offer you a cheap solution. If the solution offered to you by your prophet never worked, and you have been there for years, I think it's time to make a change. It is only a fool that keeps on doing the same thing over and over again and expect a different result. You see, the serpent has sent his own messengers in form of pastors, in form of priests, reverends, to pollute the church system, to pollute the mind of the believers. It's time to turn back to God. It's time to reconcile with God and allow God to take you. The scripture said that him that comes to God must come believing that he is, and he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Meaning that if you seek God diligently, you will surely be rewarded. The time has come for you to get fed up, for you to get provoked over the activity of the serpent. The believers are battling with several challenges each day, not because God isn't answering their prayer, but because they are being tricked by the serpent. They are being tricked by the serpent. So even when God is at work in their life, they don't seem to recognize the hand of God. So your expectation becomes your standard for measuring God's work in your life. No, it is not your expectation, not by your desires, not by the things you covet to have. These days when you are not having the things you want to have, the things you want to have because of pleasure, because of the kind of life you want to live, and they are not forthcoming, you feel God is not answering your prayers. So even the ones that God is doing, you fail to recognize them and you despise them. And this is why your issues, your problem keep compounding. The challenge keep compounding. Listen, it takes the word of God to bring about a change. What God wants to give you is his word in your spirit. You can live a very fulfilled life. You can fulfill destiny if you can embrace God's word. Jesus said, he who believes in me will not perish but have eternal life. Well, how will you believe what you don't know about? How will you believe? You only know what your pastor said, because day after day you don't even open your Bible and you only listen to your pastor. And unfortunately, some of the people you listen to are actually speaking from the spirit of the serpent. Yes, they are messengers of the serpent. So you're a believer, you believe in God, but you are not in contact with God's word. So nothing is changing in your life. That is why you remain where you are, and instead of moving forward, you are even going backward, and things are getting worse by the day, because they are not guiding you by the word of God, even though they open the scripture. Praise the Lord. Remember, when Satan tried to tempt Jesus, he made reference to the scripture. That is the subtle nature of the serpent. The fact that your preacher opens the scripture doesn't mean he's preaching the word of God. Most times they twist the word to manipulate the believer and still to take your heart away from God. Remember, if what you were doing if where you are, if the message you are listening to, the prophecy you are receiving, is not bringing you closer to God, but rather taking you away from God, if it's not so building the spirit of righteousness, if it's not sustaining the spirit of holiness in your life, you are under the influence of the spirit of the serpent. Yes, let me repeat. If the things you hear, the prophecies you receive, the words you hear, the prayers being made upon you by your man of God is not building you, bringing you close to God, it's not building your spiritual life, it's not building the spirit of righteousness in you, it's not causing you to sustain the spirit of righteousness and work in holiness, if it's not helping you to grow in holiness, then you are under the influence of the spirit of the serpent. It's time you turn to God, because unfortunately most Christians doesn't even search God's word on their own. They depend on the things they hear from the preacher, and that is where the serpent gets most of the believers the most, because you won't seek the truth on your own. They feed you their own truth. And we all know that the serpent is a cunning spirit, so his truth is actually filled with lie. The Bible said that the enemy came to kill, steal, and destroy. But the word of God, but Christ came to bring life and bring it abundantly. So whatever the serpent is giving you is either to kill you, steal from you, or to destroy you. Have you been a victim? Have you been a victim? A victim of the spirit of the serpent? You have to wake up and go back to God. You have to wake up and do a U-turn. Turn back to God. Embrace the truth. The truth is God's word. The truth is God's word. The truth is God's word. There is no miracle. There is no healing outside God's word. Praise the Lord. Any healing offered to you that goes contrary to the God's word is no healing. That is why such healing doesn't stay. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Even the scripture said, test all spirits. Test all spirits. Test all spirits. Imagine if the serpent could make an attempt on Jesus. How much more you? Jesus being the word of God himself. So what happens when you don't know the word at all? How will you stand the fiery darts of the enemy? The scripture says, put on the whole armor of God. Praise the Lord. Because the enemy is very cunning, smart, strategic, and his work, his plan, is to sway your heart away from God. And most Christians are victims. And today, they blame their pastors. The honest and genuine ones are now taking the blame for their ignorance, for their negligence, for their failure to search for the truth. If you have been a victim or exploited by the spirit of the serpent, you have to blame yourself. Don't blame your pastor. It's your fault. So it's a wake-up call. I want to pray for you right now. If you are not born again, or you have been a victim of the spirit of the serpent, you've gone under the spirit of the false prophets, you've been laid hand on by a prophet that you don't trust, or you are not so sure that this man is genuine, is from God, and they have had hands laid on you. Hey, they have impacted their own spirit upon you. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 3 says that if you receive any other spirit than this, if you have received any other spirit or any other word, so there are other spirits that can be impacted. So the fact that you see somebody praying in other tongues doesn't necessarily mean that the Holy Spirit is giving them the utterance. The demons can be impacted. The serpent spirit can be impacted in people and they pray in tongues, but it's not the holy tongues of the Holy Ghost, of the holy angels. Praise the Lord. So do not be deceived by those false manifestations you see. Everything God has created original, the enemy has a counterfeit. That includes prophecy, healing, praying in tongues, and others. So those are not standards. So if you have been laid hand upon or impacted or misguided by people or preachers or seers that you don't trust, is an opportunity for you to be liberated. I will be praying for you any moment from now. Praise the Lord. What touch whatever device you are listening to with me, you are listening to now, just touch it as I pray. And if you are not born again, you want to reconcile with God, you have derailed by your works of iniquity or by walking into sin, and you've exposed yourself to the bites of the serpent, I also want to pray for you. Just say after me now. Say, Lord Jesus, I surrender to you. Come into my life. I accept you as my personal Lord and Savior. I ask you, God, to take over my life. Wash me from all sins. Purge me from all iniquities. Purify me and make me whole again. And make me whole again. In the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for everyone under the influence of my voice. I pray for anyone listening to me right now. Father, I pray. I command that the spirit of the serpent be gone out of their life. I rebuke you, spirit of serpent. You serpentine spirit, be gone out of their life, you Satan. I come against you, Leviathan, you devil, out of their life. Whatever you have manipulated, whatever you have implanted in their life, be it sickness, be it affliction of any kind, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ. You are gone right now in the name of Jesus Christ. I cast out that devil, that sickness, that infirmity, that oppression, that slavery. Every yoke of slavery over the life of my listeners is broken right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Every yoke of bondage, every yoke over the life of my listeners is broken right now in the name of Jesus Christ. I decree and declare that whoever is listening to me right now is free from every yoke of bondage, from every yoke of the serpent in the name of Jesus Christ. Whatever has been impacted in you that is not of God, I rebuke them right now out of their lives in the name of Jesus Christ. Out of their body, out of their body, out of their body, out of their body. Be gone right now in the name of Jesus Christ. I command healing, healing of the body, healing of the soul. I command healing, healing of the spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. I command revival upon the life of my listeners. Let fresh fire come upon you in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Now, if you have prayed with me, I believe the Lord has done something marvelous in your life, and I believe you have a testimony. Feel free to share your testimony with us. You can reach us at virtuefromheaven@gmail.com. Once again, virtuefromheaven@gmail.com. Or you could reach us on our Facebook page, Virtue from Heaven. facebook.com/virtuefromheaven. You can also reach us on our Twitter handle at Virtue from Heaven, or at Mantle Mentor. You can reach me personally at Mantle Mentor or at Virtue from Heaven and share your testimony. Tell us what the Lord has done for you, and we will praise God along with you. Remain blessed.